Villains, this is evolution.org. Up your ass. Raw. This is your host, Steve Smee, and I'm with the Mason. Are you there, Mason?
Just keeps hitting more raw and raw each week, buddy.
We are live right now from the evolution.org headquarters. We have a crowd gathered outside. And we have the speakers going. They can actually hear us live right now. I don't know if you can hear the crowd, but we're ready to kill it. It's mid-December, okay? It's fucking getting dark early. It's fucking cold. But we are fucking always on fire here in the studio. So let's get to it. Our first segment is relationships. We like to get that out of the way first. Have a little fun with it. So this one is for you, Matt. Says, my husband and I used to have a very good marriage. We would have sex 2 or 3 times per day. Now we are lucky to have sex every 3 or 4 months. I bought sexy lingerie, but my husband will come home and say he's too tired. I think he is cheating on me. What should I do? Signed, Melba Moses Wolfenstein. So do you have any advice for Mrs. Wolfenstein?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. Don't necessarily think that means he's cheating. I know it can be a red flag, but a lot of people that I know are all married. And honestly, myself included, we've all gone through that. And typically what happens, and this is just my opinion, guys, I'm not a relationship doctor or anything, but this is what I think. So every relationship has the honeymoon stage where, you know, you're doing it a bunch of times every day, or, you know, you miss a day here and there. It's just crazy. It's fun. And then it kind of normalizes. But then I think what happens when you're, you know, married or you're in a long-term relationship is you end up, first of all, you lose the fun of it because it's the same shit. But second of all, if you're trying to have kids, it turns into a chore isn't the right word, but something like that. So basically it's like, okay, well, you know, we got to do this because we're trying to have kids. So we got to do it every day. And you're like on a schedule because she knows what the days are that are, you know, there's a better odds because of where her period falls and all that shit. So it ends up being like not fun sex. It's baby making sex, and it's because we got to do it today or else we might miss our chance. And that can go on for years, right? Like a woman's pregnant, give or take, for 9 months. So if you're a couple that has 2 kids even only, and you don't do it right back to back, you know, that's years that you're doing that. And then that just becomes your habit. That's what you're used to. So it's hard to get that back afterwards because you're already settled in as a couple. It's not new and exciting anymore. So how do you start over? Buying the lingerie, that's an awesome idea. But it seems like right now he's the one that's not into it. It may end up down the road where he comes back and then she's not into it for whatever reason. And it just takes time until parties ready to go and willing to put the work in. And I'm not sure what it is that, you know, brings people back, but I almost feel like just for the people I know, women tend to get, you know, to their peak of sexual activity somewhere in their late 30s, which is very different from men. I mean, men, we're peaked anywhere from 18 until the thing doesn't work anymore. You know, like it's way different for guys. So give it time. I know for some people, like it takes a certain thing to happen where you actually realize, you know what, I'm with this person forever. Like I love this person for who they are. So why not make it fun? Why not start doing it all the time again?
So what are some ways specific, Matt, I'm making it fun. You're talking about bringing in toys, getting a swing,
There's what a are few some things. First thing you have to do is be prepared to get out of your comfort zone, because it's the same thing. Everybody, you get home from work, you eat dinner, you sit around, you do nothing probably, you take your kids to sports and you go to bed. So you have to be prepared to get out of your comfort zone. The other thing you could, like, so yeah, making it fun, like toys, dress up, whatever you think might work. Even something as simple as, like, it doesn't have to be, you know, wild or anything. Like, so this question was from a woman. So next time he's in the shower, just go jump in. Like, there's no way he's going to turn down a nice pair of boobs in his face. We don't operate that way. He can't use the excuse of I'm tired. Just jump in there. Try different little things like that. Try just saying certain things when you're in bed, just to get him interested. And like, it's not even worst case, but worst case scenario, go to a therapist and sit down and try to figure it out. Because trust me, it's a lot of fun when you figure it out and you get back to those days. So there's tons of different things to try. So I would say, don't give up. Is he cheating? Sure, there's a possibility of that. But honestly, way more often than not, I see that that's not the case, that it's just boredom and you just fall into that routine.
I could say a really good idea. If you're like in a long relationship or a marriage or something, how about renting a fucking shitty ass hotel room? All right. A shitty ass trashy hotel room. And then pretending that you're a fucking hooker and he's like some businessman in town. And then he can go to the hotel room and wait, make him wait, and then schedule it, and then show up pretending you're a hooker and just fucking be a fucking nasty bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, do some nasty ass shit with him that he's never done with anybody before and he's never done with you. And that can really turn him on. I'll tell you what turns a guy off is attitude. Like, shitty ass masculine attitude, like getting yelled at, getting nagged, bringing negativity. As soon as the guy walks in the door, hitting him with, oh yeah, we got a letter from the home association saying we need to do this and this. Or, hey, yeah, little Mikey is sick. Can you take him to the doctor tomorrow morning before work? Just hitting him with this shit as soon as he walks in the door. That can wear a guy down to the point where he's not going to be attracted to you anymore, because he views you as this negative fucking person who's bringing negativity on his life. As much as you want to hit him with your day, I went to the grocery store, the cashier was a bitch to me, I went to the home improvement store, they were assholes, I went to Best Buy, they wouldn't honor my coupon. As much as you want to tell them all the shitty things that happened to you that day, trust me, the guy doesn't want to hear that, okay? The guy just wants to come home to a relaxing evening, a happy woman, just be happy, be cheerful, don't nag him. Lose the attitude. Also, men are very visual. If you're walking around in fucking, you know, a fucking short, like long shorts or like fucking nasty like pants and a fucking husband beater shirt, all right? Because I've been down that road before. I can tell you what's turned me off. Like, just looking like shit is not going to turn me on. Men are visual. So why not, like, dress a little sexy? You know, wear some makeup maybe. You know, make sure, you know, you have some skin exposed. Your neck. The neck being exposed is very important to a man. That's a big turn on for a man. Same thing with, like, the armpits being exposed. That's a big turn on for a man. The more skin you show, the better. You know? And wear something sexy for him. Like, there's nothing more of a turn off than me taking your pants off and seeing fucking granny panties on. All right. I don't want to see your granny panties. And I don't want to see a fucking thong like you're a fucking 15-year-old girl. I want to see something sexy that a woman is going to wear. Some nice lace underwear with like rips on it, you know, like an animal got to you, something like that. So men are visual and men react very strongly to negativity, nagging and all that shit. That's going to fucking shrink my dick up faster than anything. And, you know, be, you know, suggest some stuff that you can, you know, do. Like I was saying about the hotel room and stuff, just think of some ideas and make it fun. Maybe, you know, get some toys in the bedroom and stuff like that. Because boring ass sex, the same fucking sex. Okay, yeah, missionary, cowgirl. Okay, then you come, and then, okay, I'm going to get a missionary and then come. You know, that's boring, all right? The same shit's boring after now. How about, like, come up with some new positions? Like, get a fucking book or watch some porn together or something. Learn some different positions, and then you can kind of, like, make it more fun because you're going to get bored. A guy's going to get bored pounding the same pussy over and over and over the same way. I'm sorry, you know, it's just – it's normal game. So hopefully you can salvage the marriage. If not, if this doesn't work, then it might be time for you to move on with your life, depending on like if you have kids and stuff. So because this is a big problem, you're going to end up being tempted to cheat on him. He's going to be tempted cheating on you. Maybe there's no attraction anymore. I don't know. So Matt's far more optimistic about it than I am. But it depends on your situation, you know. So try your best to salvage.
Yeah, maybe try, because any guy I know, how many times a day do we open up our phone and there's some type of porn? Like, that's just how we operate. Like, we can get things whenever we want, and when we're sitting at work bored, what do? And so why not, while he's at work, pick one day and send him a couple pictures of you, revealing, not a lot, you know. Maybe just some cleavage, maybe something just suggestive, right? Maybe three times throughout the day, different times, just to get them, you know, thinking about it. And then have them come home, and then you're dressed in whatever you want to decide. And maybe have something on the TV ready to go. So then he comes in, he's already been worked up all day. He sees you, he's in that mood, and then you have something nice on TV, and then there you go. There's no way, you know, there's at some point for a guy, you're not just going to say, I'm tired. Like, unless there's something else going on with him, like, we get horny. It just happens, and you can't avoid it eventually. So any of those things are going to be great ideas. Give it a try and let us know. You know, don't leave us hanging. Let us know how it goes.
Another thing is smell. Smell is very important. If you got bad breath or you don't smell good, that's a turn off to a guy. So make sure you smell good. I'm not saying drench yourself in perfume either. Because if you drench yourself in perfume, to me, that's not a good smell. I want a nice, natural smell of a woman. I want her to have a nice breath. I dated a girl, her breath smelled like shit, you know? And that was horrible. And it's like, you know, that's a turn off. I'm not going to want to kiss you if your breath smells like shit, you know? So our next one that we're going to talk about, as always, is Fix My Cycle Bra. And that's another segment that we do every show now. And this one is a very simple one, but it's one that's, I feel like, one of the most misunderstood compounds out there. And that is, this guy wants to do 6 weeks of Sustanon 250. So he wants to run it 300 milligrams twice a week. He's like, he wants to know, is it worth it or is it too short to see results? So first of all, this is one of the most misunderstood compounds out there because people think that Sustanon needs to be run often because it has some prop in it. So I can tell you that those people, most people out there like on forums and stuff, they'll actually tell you that. They'll actually say that you're supposed to run Sustanon every other day. It's only 30 milligrams of propionate. Only 30 milligrams. It's 60 milligrams of phenylpropionate. It's 60 milligrams of isocapri, and it's 100 milligrams of deconate. Okay, deconate is a very long ester, 15-day ester. Isocapriate is about 9 or 10-day ester. And then the phenylpropionate is about 3 or 4 days, and the propionate is about 2 days. So most of it, 160 out of the 250, are long esters, longer at or longer than cypionate. And then 60 milligrams is phenylpropionate, and then only 30 milligrams is propionate. So why would you treat it like propionate when it's only 30 out of 250 of propionate? I mean, that's like fucking, you know, that's like 12% only of it is propionate. So the way Sucinin was designed, it was designed for testosterone replacement therapy. So it was designed that you take a large dose and then each ester picks up after another. So you inject it, that propionate is felt pretty quick, then the phenylpropionate, then isocapriate, then deconate. And it's the deconate is a long-ass ester. So each ester picks up after another. You inject a large amount, and it kind of like builds up in your system over time. So you really only have to inject Sucinin every couple weeks, believe it or not. So instead of injecting 200 milligrams a week of cypionate, you would inject 400 milligrams a week of Sucinin, but you only inject it once every 2 weeks. So I hope that makes sense. That's how Sucinin was designed. Omnidrene is also the same compounds, the same esters, and it's the same formula, but it's just called Omnidrene. That's what they use in Europe. So in the United States, we don't use Sucinin. We for TRT, we typically use cypionate or N-athate. So it's just the way it is. It's one of those things with the pharmaceutical companies and stuff like that. So that is the correct way to use it. Matt, what are your thoughts? Help this guy out.
So for me, Sucinin, honestly, I would leave it to TRT. I'm not a fan of it as part of a cycle. And I'll tell you why. Unless it's pharmacy grade. If it's pharmacy grade gear, sure, that's fine. You can use it. If you were going to run it as part of a cycle, I'd probably inject it 1 to 2 times per week. It definitely doesn't need to be every other day. That's not necessary at all. Steve went through what the esters are, and you guys get a feel for the weight and the amount that's in there. It doesn't make sense. I think there's a few things going on. I think most of you guys are getting your gear from Underground Labs, okay? Underground Labs are just some guy getting powders, making his own gear. It's not hard to make steroids, okay? It's risky. It's not hard to do, though. So do you think these guys are honestly getting all four of these, you know, esters of testosterone separately and then, you know, mixing them to the perfect ratios every time? I find that awfully hard to believe. I wouldn't be surprised if most UGL Sucinin is basically a mix of like half test prop and half test sip. I wouldn't be surprised at all because, you know, if you can get it cheaper, why not? What's the difference? Who can tell the difference if you were just injecting testosterone between a 9-day and a 14-day half-life? Like, can you notice that? You're not going to notice that. You're not going to feel any different. So, you know, these Underground Labs are doing what they need to do to make money. So I bet you if there's a sale, you know, from their powder guy on test N-athate, that's what they're buying. That's what they're mixing in there. So I think that's the first part of it. So then related to that would be the guy that buys that gear and, you know, say half of it is prop. So for him, he feels it kicking in really early. He loves it, but he thinks it's actually the 4-ester blend when in reality it's not. So he's telling all his buddies now, man, like, 1 week in, I'm feeling crazy. Like it's kicked in. I'm, you know, getting gains, all this other shit. So then he's telling everybody about that. So then that turns into, well, of course it kicks in. It's got short esters in there. So then it just gets repeated over and over and over again. But if you're running the actual proper mix, a pharmacy grade product, it does not treat you like if you were using a short ester. That's not how it's going to operate. So it's going to depend on your source and how close you are to knowing you're actually getting what you're getting. But to answer the question, no, you don't need to inject it every other day. A 6-week cycle to me is not going to make any sense. Even if you were just using test prop, I'd still say go to 8 weeks to really get the most out of it. 'Cause 6 weeks, you know, you'll get something, you know, but the decanate ester isn't going to be peaking until, you know, after week 6. You're not even going to get to peak levels. So, you know, is it worth it? No. If you can run it 12 weeks, sure, it's worth it. Do it that way. But short cycles, it's not going to work with a long ester.
So we have two more segments before we get into our last topic. We have our diet and our workup. Fix my diet and fix my workout. So Matt, you're going to introduce both of those. What do you have for tonight?
Yes, sir. We got a good diet question today. Hi, Steve and Matt. What are your thoughts on the keto diet while bulking? I love the idea of staying lean while still being able to add mass. I feel that with keto, I will add a lot of size and stay lean because fat will be my primary source of energy. What are your thoughts? P.S. I'm a natural lifter. Thanks, Luke from South Wales. Good question. My first initial reaction to it is just how I feel with any goal is that any diet will work. If you're getting the right amount of calories, you can make anything work. Is keto going to work for you for bulking? Sure, it can work. Is it going to be something magical that's going to allow you to eat in a huge surplus, bulk up, and not gain any fat? No, it's not going to do that. Especially being, you know, being natural. Not that you're at a disadvantage, but you're not getting that extra perk of being on anything. So, you know, for me, if I was designing an ideal diet, I wouldn't even call it a diet. It would just be how I normally eat. I would just eat in a surplus every day. So whether it's fat, carbs, protein, you know, I would probably just say, you know, make sure you're getting a gram of protein per pound of body weight if you're trying to bulk. So go with that and then fill in the rest with what you like. You know, if you're one of those guys that you get, you know, you will gain fat eating carbs, then keep the carbs low. That's fine. If you're somebody that, you know, you feel good when you have carbs, you need that energy, then go with carbs. The only downfall I see to keto is to bulk, you're probably not going to be getting enough protein because it's such a high fat diet. So that would be my first thing. You're not actually going to get into ketosis anyways. It's not going to happen. I think it's kind of misunderstood. We can still call it the keto diet because then everybody knows what we're talking about. We're all on the same page. But I wouldn't, like, I'm a big fan of keeping it simple. Don't overthink it. You know, if you were having a half cup of rice with your second meal, make it 3/4 of a cup. You know, just increase your food a little bit. If you were having 4 ounces of chicken with that rice, make it 6 ounces. You know, and you can track your calories if you want to be specific. But I don't think, maybe I'm wrong. I don't see a huge benefit to going with a keto diet specifically over anything else.
Yeah, so it's really funny with diets. These diets, you know, seem to get popular. Right now, Kim Kardashian and Rihanna, they're both singers. And I don't know if Kim Kardashian is a singer. I don't know, you know, if she is, Matt, but I know she has like a reality show. Is she a singer too?
Yeah, I don't think she has any talents.
Okay. I think she just did a reality show. But anyway,
she's nice to look at, but
you know, these celebrities, they come up with these diets and people kind of run. So, you know, you can look this up and you'll get all kinds of opinions. There's studies that show the keto diet burns more fat than a standard diet, even without exercise, whatever that means. I mean, what does standard diet mean? I don't even, what are they talking about? Like a balanced diet? I don't really get it. So, I mean, really, a study can show a diet does whatever. I'm just saying that I'm going to give you some facts, okay? And a lot of you aren't going to like this, but you cannot go into ketosis by eating meat and fish and sausage and bacon and all this stuff that the keto diet is all about. You can't even go into ketosis eating vegetables. The only way to get into a true ketosis is to eat no food at all, just drink water. And then by day 3 or 4, you will be in ketosis. And you can test this out by getting strips. Now, when I did my 10-day fast, I hit ketosis after about 2.5, 3 days. I was pissing out ketones. I was pissing on a strip, and it was showing up that I was pissing out ketones. After the 10 days, I had bone broth soup and a salad. No dressing, just a plain fucking salad. 2 hours later, I pissed again on the strip. And guess what? I was out of ketosis. So salad and bone broth soup is keto, is part of a keto diet. All right, that would be considered something you'd have on keto. So why is it that I was in ketosis for all those days, then had a salad and bone broth soup, and it kicked me out of ketosis? I'm not sure, you know, about all these studies. I'm not sure about all this bullshit you read on the internet. I'm not sure about what these guys say in social media. All I can tell you is, for me, you cannot eat salad, bone broth soup, meat, bacon, sausage, all this shit, and be in ketosis. I'm living proof of it. And you can try it yourself. Go to the drugstore, get keto strips, and piss on them. And then you'll hear the people on social media be like, oh, those keto strips aren't accurate, blah, blah, blah. Of course they're accurate. You're pissing out ketones or you're not pissing out ketones. It's black and white as you can be. Granted, you can be dehydrated and piss out ketones, but come on. I'm talking about in a normal situation, a normal setting, you can be your own lab rat. If you don't believe me, go and do exactly what I did and you'll see that I am right. So the whole keto diet is bullshit in terms of getting you in ketosis, but what it does is that it limits the amount of sugar you're getting. It limits the amount of calories you're getting because you're not eating very calorie-rich foods like pastas, like donuts, like pastries, all right, that you would normally eat, cake and ice cream and all this shit. Instead, you're eating, you know, a lot of calories but low, low carbs and low, low sugar. So that kind of allows you to have a better chance of being a deficit for the day, a caloric deficit. Sugary foods are very calorie dense. So if you're eliminating sugars out of your diet, that is going to greatly help you lose weight. So in that aspect, yes, the keto diet can work for you. I'm personally more of a fan of a balanced diet, and we'll get into that in future podcasts. A balanced diet and basically being in a caloric deficit daily or at maintenance. It just depends. But you want to be at maintenance or less. But I'm in a different situation than you. You're bulking. You want to bulk. So it can work for bulking if you're hitting your calorie maintenance and you're going into a surplus. So it would take you eating a lot of meat because you're not able to get in those high-carb, high-calorie-dense foods.
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to calories in versus calories out, right? It is possible. Well, I guess we could debate if it's possible because it would take a long time and a lot of food. But if you were able to, in a day, eat enough lettuce to put you in a caloric surplus, you could gain fat by eating just lettuce. It's possible. Just the same way that these guys do the if it fits your macros diet and they eat shit, but they're in a deficit, so they end up losing weight. It's not healthy, but it is possible. the problem with the calorie dense foods is you're taking three bites of food and you're basically at maintenance for the day. So that's where the difference comes in. Got anything else, Steve, or let's, you ready for the training question?
Yeah, man, go for it.
All right. This is, I like this one. We got this one from Connor, who's in Southern California. And he says, hey guys, I really want to focus on my leg development and had a question on a routine. Which of these options do you think would be best? So he gives us three options of how he would do his leg routine. One, train legs twice per week altogether. Two, train legs, push one day and pull the second day. Three, train upper legs twice per week and calves on a separate day. So those were the three options. The first thing that comes to mind is do what you're not doing right now. So I don't know if he is doing one of these three right now, but if you are, cross that one out because you want to focus on it. Start something new. Mentally, you'll feel good about it. You'll be excited for a new routine. Physically, your body's going to respond differently. Our bodies are a lot smarter than we give it credit for. So you can't trick your body, but you can shock the muscles a bit. There is something to be said for that when you do switch things up. I think for me, if I had to pick one, I like just doing all my legs on a leg day twice per week. I think, so here's my logic with that. When you're doing, so say you're doing squats, okay? That's going to be primarily an ass and a hamstring exercise, right? So that's going to be technically a pull movement for your legs. While you're doing squats, you're still really engaging your quads a ton. So for me, I would take advantage. I would just do, and that's just what I like to do. I would do all of my legs. Bust your ass hard, do everything. Do your squats, do your deadlifts, get your accessory work in, you know, do some hamstring curls, do some, you know, leg extensions. And, you know, depending on your calves, because calves are a bit tricky, genetics play a huge part. So if that's something you really need to focus on, maybe switch it up. I barely even need to train my calves. So I just kind of do them at the end of my workout as a finisher. I'll do one or two exercises just to hit those. But I like the idea of doing it all together. I think you can do one day heavy weights and then you can do the other day high reps. And that way you're even getting a little break in there. I think if you get into switching up the push-pull, I feel like you're leaving something on the table. Because you'd only be hitting it once really hard and then the other day kind of just as a supporting group. And I think, I don't know, I guess you could go with the option of training calves on another day. You know, I know a lot of you guys like to do calves with abs. But for me, just because of the way my calves are a really strong part for me, it's so easy for me just to throw it in at the end of a leg workout and then I'm just done with legs and I can move on because it is a really tough day. So that's where I come in.
You know what? I really like this question because a lot of guys, they don't train their legs enough. And we see this all the time in the gym. The squat rack is usually open, but by golly, the bicep curl section and the bench press, those are always taken. Everyone loves to do, you know, work their chest and work their biceps, you know. So, but no one likes to train legs because legs is hard. Legs is hard to train. When you do squats, you know, it hurts. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of calorie expenditure. So, you know, people are lazy. So I like this question. I like what you suggested, Matt, is like try different things than what you're doing now to try to do it. I'll tell you this. Let me give you some tips on legs. The calves can be worked often. No problem on the calves. All right. But you can't work your upper legs are very difficult to work often because, and the reason for that is squats and lunges. They put a lot of pressure on your hips and your knees. So if you overwork those exercises, you're overworking your knees and hips. And that's a major problem that we're going to experience as we get older. And you don't want to wear out your knees and hips. It's the last thing you want to do. So I would train legs 1 to 2 times a week, but you can train your calves much more often. And don't forget the front part of your lower legs as well. That's a muscle that no one ever works. And those are the medial muscles. So don't forget, if you're working your calves, also work your front just as hard, because you want to build that part too. And then when it comes to your, everyone wants to work their quads, but no one works their hamstrings. So the key with hamstrings is you can do lunges. Lunges work the hamstrings. They also work the glutes. Squats done properly work the hamstrings and work the glutes. But the problem is most people don't do squats properly. So what I recommend is either do box squats. And what box squats are is you put a bench where your squat rack is, take the squat and go squat and sit on the bench, and then stand up with the weight on your shoulders. And that will allow you to use more proper form and really engage the glutes more than you're engaging your knees. All right. Another tip is front squats. You hold the bar in front of you, basically. Okay. So they're going to go basically on your front delts, and you're going to hold it with your arms crossed, and then you're going to squat. This forces you to be more straight when you squat. And also, please, guys, don't squat with a Smith machine. I see some guys do that. That's horrible, because the Smith machine is going to cause you to have an injury, because you're going up and down on a linear, basically, it's like a roll, basically, up and down. You're not moving, okay? You're only moving up and down, horizontally or vertically, whatever you want to look at it. You're not moving the other direction. You're not moving right, left. You're not engaging. So you can really tear your hips up and your knees up by using the Smith machine. So, you know, it's amazing, because some gyms have like 2 or 3 Smith machines and only have like 1 squat rack. And, you know, so just be careful what you do. So you don't want to overtrain your legs, but you can overtrain your calves. So I would tell you to follow that. And that'd be a really good workout for you.
Yeah, just a quick final suggestion. You could even take something like this and break it up and create your own 12-week program. So run each of these setups for 4 weeks, and then see which one you like better, see which one you respond better, or, you know, you'll do fine on all of them, and then you get to switch it up. Nothing wrong with that. You don't have to stick and, you know, stay with the same thing all the time. I'm a big fan. I like to switch my training sessions up at least every 6 weeks. Like I said earlier, it's a mental thing too, just to start something new, create some new goals. It's kind of like a refresh, and it keeps things interesting. So nothing wrong with doing all of them.
So our final topic, and this is a fun one, we're going to talk about dumb shit people do before and after their workouts. Okay. So Matt, can you tell us a couple things that come to mind first for you?
Oh yeah, I can't see your list. You're on the other side here. I got a good list here, but I'll give you a couple. Let's start with before training. So I think this is probably the most common one, is too much caffeine before a workout. I think that's a dumb mistake, because guys don't think, right? Like this whole generation of, you know, 18 to 30 year old guys, like they don't think for themselves anymore, and they hear and they do. Okay, pre-workout means I need to have a pre-workout, because this is what you do and these guys are doing that, and I need to feel wired. So without thinking, what is it actually doing for me? And we've talked about this before. What you want when you exercise is you want your heart rate to increase as you exercise. So what good is it if your heart rate's already flying and then you're starting to exercise? It's not doing any good for you. It'll actually hinder your workouts because you're going to get out of breath. Personally, I can't imagine, you know, speaking of a leg day, I can't imagine going to do my squats. And when I squat, I do a minimum of 5 sets because I like to warm up and I feel it's extremely important. I can't imagine doing squats with, you know, 300 to 400 milligrams of caffeine that I just chugged. You know, I can't imagine that. My heart would be racing. I'd be just pouring sweat. I'd be jittery. I want to be focused. I want to, you know, be in my zone knowing I can support this bar. I'm not going to, you know, shake. I want, you know, I don't need to feel like my heart's going to explode to focus. So too much caffeine, the reason I worded it that way is because I think if you have a night where you don't sleep well, or, you know, you're really tired, but, you know, you have to get in the gym that day because you're going to miss tomorrow. So you kind of have to fight through. I have no issue if once in a while you have basically 100 milligrams of caffeine, which equates to about 1 cup of coffee. It's not enough to get you all riled up, but it's enough to, you know, help you feel better if you really are dragging ass. So I would say, you know, 100 is kind of the number. A lot of pre-workouts, they used to be 200, and now they seem to be double that. So it's getting pretty crazy. And then, you know, if you guys are drinking coffee at all in the mornings or whatever else. So too much caffeine is my first one. Steve, you can chime in after if you want. I'll give you one more and we can talk about it. This is a common one, and I don't think people talk about it enough. You won't hear this anywhere else. It's not being hydrated before your workout. Nobody thinks about drinking water before they train. You always hear people thinking about getting in my pre-workout and how much food can I shove down my throat before I train? Or what do I need to eat an hour before I work out? Do I need a big plate of pasta? What do I need? But you don't hear anybody talking about being hydrated. Being hydrated is the most important thing you can do for your body on a daily basis. You need to be hydrated, and tons of people aren't. It's really hard. And let me go back to the same fucking example again of the squats. I can't imagine going in, starting to do my squats as the weight's getting heavier and heavier, and I'm dehydrated. I would feel like crap. Your body's not going to function the best. It's just going to cause so many issues for you. You're not going to be able to catch up during your workout because your heart rate should be up. You should be working hard. So you need to be hydrated before you go in. I think that's a key, and I think it's a huge mistake because you rarely see it. All you see are guys at the gym with their water bottles filled with purple and pink liquids, and you know they weren't drinking water beforehand. So, you know, where does that put you?
Yeah, we definitely can talk a lot about this. I think after a workout, people are trying to cut. The big mistake they do, this is really stupid, is they'll leave the gym and they'll go straight to like Chipotle or Chick-fil-A or McDonald's or whatever, and they'll just go have junk food. You just bust your ass for an hour to burn 500 calories, and then you're going to go to Chipotle and eat a 1,000-calorie burrito. So you're basically, out of that 2 hours between the gym and going to Chipotle, you're actually in a 500-calorie surplus. So what did you really accomplish? If your goals are to lose weight, why burn 500 calories just to get 1,000 back? It makes no sense. So that's very, very fucking dumb. I see people doing that all the time. I see people leaving the gym in the parking lot. They're like, hey, okay, Joe, where are we going for dinner? Yeah, meet me at Chick-fil-A. It's like, what? It's like, are you fucking kidding me? And these guys are overweight. And I just watch them on the fucking cardio treadmill or elliptical or whatever, busting their ass for an hour, sweating. They're in a sweat. So, you know, you're spinning your wheels. You're not going anywhere. And these are guys look the fucking same. They've been going to the gym for like a year, and they look the fucking the same. So how does that make any sense? Come on, guys. That's fucking dumb. You know, on the way to the gym, Some of the dumb things that people do. There's a lot of fucking dumb things that you can do going to the gym. I think dumb things you can do is like get your mind unfocused from the gym. Like on the way to the gym, you're on your phone, you're fucking texting, you know, your girlfriend, you're texting your work, you're checking, you know, the stock market, you're checking the news from CNN, you're checking the sports score. You got your mind away from the gym. What you should be doing on the way to the gym, okay, if you're driving to the gym or you're walking the gym or bicycling the gym, is visualizing your workout, visualizing your goals. What are your goals for your session? What do you plan on doing for your session? And try to kind of come up with a blueprint in your mind of what you're going to do, your workout, then afterwards you're stretching, you know, and then when you're done with the gym, you can go home and then you can worry about the score of the game or texting your girlfriend or whatever. So get your mind focused on the gym, because you get to the gym, you got your phone, you're checking the score, you're texting this girl back and forth. You're never focusing on your workout. And I see this all the fucking time. I see guys sitting there and they're fucking texting on their phone or looking up the score or looking up what's going on, what Trump did or whatever. Leave that at home, guys. And this is the problem with these franchise gyms, is they have TVs. And I hate that shit. You know, we don't want to see the news. We don't want to see where the stock market is. We don't want to see what Trump did today. We don't want to see any of that shit. We just want to go to the gym and focus on our workout. Get rid of the fucking TVs. Get rid of the phone. You shouldn't even take your phone inside the gym. All right? Leave your fucking phone in your car or at home. It shouldn't be about – you got to focus in on your goal, you know, and that's what you got to do. What else you got, Matt?
Well, just to add on to yours quickly, I also had two of those very similar. I had not being mentally ready to lift heavy-ass weights, and I also had not leaving your phone in the locker room, and those are tied together. And that's a huge one, and Steve explained that really well. The other one that Steve talked about with running over to get shitty-ass food after you work out, something very similar to that, because we can convince ourselves of things. People are really good at, you know, telling themselves it's okay to do something or asking a question a certain way to get the answer they want. And they're going to do what they want anyways. So a big one for me is thinking you can cheat on your diet because you worked out. So take the guys that just don't know any better or don't give a fuck. The people that go home and they see that food in the fridge and they're like, oh, there's a piece of pizza in there from the kids last night. I can eat that because I worked out today. It's okay. Get out of that mindset. That will come back to haunt you. It'll put you on the wrong track. You just got to learn to be mentally tough. So that I wanted to add that into it. I'll give you a few more here. The first one is going to be, going into your session overtrained. And what I mean by that is you're going to the gym and it's a mistake in itself. Because you're not giving yourself a break. If you feel like you're, you know, more sore than you should be, you're not recovering quick, you've been to the gym for 6 days in a row, take a day off. Just take a day off, because it's going to come back to bite you. You're either going to get hurt, or you're going to have a shitty workout, or, you know, you're going to end up just prolonging the repair and the healing that you need to be done. So just stay home. That's a mistake before training. So then I'll kind of work with that and talk about a mistake that people make after training. And that's the guys that are pussies and they have to take painkillers after they work out because they don't want to be sore. My legs will hurt. Poor muffin, okay? You're gonna hurt. It's okay. You're not gonna be sore every time. You know, maybe a little bit, maybe a lot. It's going to change. Everybody's different. Every workout's different. Get that out of your head that being really sore means I had an awesome workout. Doesn't necessarily mean it's true. But what is true is taking painkillers because you're sore after a workout is not good. That's not a good thing. Your body needs an inflammatory response. That is how it knows it needs to work. It needs to repair the muscle you've torn. You don't want to be, you know, blocking things like that. And you don't want to be taking anti-inflammatories like Tylenol and ibuprofen. And, you know, I get it. They're not extremely liver toxic, especially ibuprofen, but they still are. They're still not good for your liver. If you're taking them every day, and then if any of you guys are using any liver toxic steroids, you're really going to compound things. So man up, learn that it's okay to be sore, deal with it. It'll last for a couple days and then you're fine. You don't need medication because you have DOMS.
Yeah, that's a really good point. People don't realize you're breaking down the muscle fibers are ripped, and your body's sending out the inflammation to repair it. And when you're taking a painkiller, anti-inflammatory, you're blocking that. You're interfering with that repair. So you must, you know, not use anti-inflammatories, guys. Very, very important. Let your body recover without interference. That's how your muscle's going to get stronger. What goes with this is sleep, not getting enough sleep. You want to really grow muscle after your workout. If you can get in a nap or you get a really good night's sleep, that's going to be the best thing to repair. How does your body repair? It repairs while you're sleeping, because while you're sleeping, your body shuts down. Your body has time to detox. You wake up in the morning, your breath stinks. Your armpits stink. Why? It's because your body's detoxing. That's why your breath stinks. All that shit's coming off your tongue. Your breath stinks. That's why. It's because you're detoxing. That's what happens at night. You're not eating anything all night while you sleep. Your digestive system's getting a break. Your body's getting a break. Give it a fucking break. If you're not sleeping enough, that's a huge mistake. You get in a tough workout, you need to get a good night's sleep. It's mandatory. So please, you need to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep every night. And then if you have a hard workout earlier in the day, if you can get in a nap after, that's a beautiful thing. That's really going to speed up your recovery. So another thing too, after a workout, I already said for fat guys who can't lose weight, who are going to Chipotle and going to Chick-fil-A and ruining their workout. The flip side is these skinny fuckers. Okay, you're a skinny young guy. You're having a hard time bulking. You're having a hard time putting on weight. Having a hard time putting muscle. The mistake they do after a workout is they'll go have a protein shake and a Pop-Tart or something like that. Okay? And then that's going to fucking murder their appetite. They're going to be bloated. They're going to be farting for the next 3 or 4 hours. And they're not going to want to eat anything. In your situation, you want to have a nice, balanced meal, okay? A Chipotle burrito is actually a good idea in your situation, all right? A nice, clean burrito that they have there would help you, okay? But don't go to fucking Chick-fil-A and don't go to McDonald's and eat trash. You're not going to bulk properly. You're not going to build muscle eating fucking baby food, okay? You need to eat real fucking food. So have a good quality meal, your vegetables, your protein, and a little carb. Okay, that's a good fucking post-workout meal. Don't fucking go drink a fucking protein shake because everyone says to. And then kill your appetite for 4 hours. And then you're complaining that you can't gain anything. Well, you just had a fucking protein shake is 150 calories. When you should have been having an 800 calorie meal. Not a 150 calorie protein shake. That's how you're going to bulk. That's how you're going to be in a surplus.
Dude, I have to laugh at some of these fucking guys. And like, it's usually you'll see a group of them, right? They'll be 3 and 4, like teenagers. And I guarantee you they had a whey concentrate shake and a Pop-Tart and a pre-workout before their training. And they're literally like farting all over the gym. Like, I swear 2 out of the 4 guys probably shit themselves at some point. And, like, it's so funny because you see them and you know exactly what's going on. You're like, you guys are just so fucking stupid. right? They don't think, and they just do it. That's hilarious.
Yeah, and then they complain that they can't gain any muscle. Well, yeah, you're eating baby food. That's why you can't eat muscle, gain muscle.
It's crazy. So I'll give you one more quick about food, and then I got two that go together after that. With the food, and this is more, it's not everybody, but the majority of guys, you don't need quick carbs after training. You don't need to get a carb powder. You don't need to eat, you know, pixie sticks. You don't need that kind of shit. You don't need to eat white bread, any of that. It's not this whole thing about, you know, you need the quick carbs right away. You got to replenish glycogen levels and, you know, you got to shuttle all these nutrients as quick as you can, right? I get it. You want to eat after training if you're trying to put muscle on. Steve explained it. It's okay to go home and eat real food. Okay. You don't need to be in the shower at the gym eating a bagel. It's okay. So I think those guys that get hooked on these carb powders are the same guys that get hooked on just having shakes all day long because it's easy. But if you're going to be using carb powders all the time, you're going to get fat. And it's terrible on – it's going to spike your insulin like crazy, right? So you really – I'd stay away from any of that shit right after training. That's another one that you've heard different opinions back and forth on that. So just be careful with that. And then for me, so there's kind of a before and an after training that are tied together. So a mistake I see before training is guys not warming up properly, especially with your first exercise with any muscle group. So if you're just starting off, it's Monday, it's chest day. Everybody does chest on Mondays. And you go right to that. You wait a half hour for the bench press and one finally opens up and you go there. And you start putting on a couple plates right away. You're just going to hurt yourself. You can get so much better results out of a workout if you just extend your sets out and do a good 3 warm-up sets first. Really get the blood moving. Get the muscles used to the movements. Get the joints used to the movements. The worst thing you could do is just go in and start throwing weights around. You might be able to get away with it when you're younger without getting hurt. It's still not optimal for actually working the muscle and developing the muscle. So you want to do it anyways. But especially as you get older, you will hurt yourself. It's going to happen. You know, your shoulders, your chest, it's very easy. You know, your elbows are another good one. So watch that shit. And then a really good habit to get into that I don't see is stretching. And maybe you guys go home and stretch after training. I don't know because I don't follow you home. I don't see a lot of people stretching at the gym. For me, I love it because I take like 10, 15 minutes and it's so relaxing. I got my music on. I'm thinking about like I just killed my workout. So I'm feeling so good. I'm thinking about it. I'm just stretching, just holding it and feel so nice. And that's really good. Keeps the blood flowing. There's a lot of health benefits to stretching. It's a really simple thing. And if you can get into the habit of doing it at a young age, it just becomes part of your routine. And you'll always do it. And you'll never have the issues. Again, it goes back to it will help prevent injuries. And it has actually a lot of benefits related to gaining muscle. So it really does help. There's a ton of benefits. So if you guys can just add in the extra 10 minutes at the end of your workout, you're going to get a ton of benefit from stretching.
Yeah, stretching is really important, guys. Some yoga poses are really good. You can go to a yoga class, learn some stretches, and be able to utilize those stretches. Very, very important. So we really appreciate you guys listening. We have another podcast coming your way next week of Raw, and we have a regular podcast as well. So look forward to you guys listening. Everyone have a great December, mid-December evening, and we'll talk to you guys next time.